Great, well, thank you for coming. Today we've got Garth Blake, who is the convener of the Safe Church Network, as it is now. So welcome.
Thank you.
And do you want to maybe just give a bit of a very short introduction to what the Safe Church Network is about?
We are a group of Anglicans from different provinces who are all dealing with issues of abuse in our own provinces, and realised that we had a great deal to learn from one another as we tackle similar issues. We also realised that the work we do is often very lonely, and it's been helpful to have mutual support as we deal with that sort of work.
Maybe just talk a little bit about the charter that was endorsed yesterday.
Something that really has been, in my mind, for nearly a decade, has been could we as Anglicans work together to eliminate abuse and create safe churches? And it became clear to me when I was examining this issue in 2003 across the communion that we were all dealing with it in isolation. And we had much to learn from one another, and also just to be aware that the world looks very carefully at what churches are doing with issues of abuse. And our failures are constantly paraded before the world through the media, and there's been a significant loss of public trust for our churches, and I think the Christian church generally. And the charter is an attempt to ensure that every province is tackling the issue of making its church safe through responding properly to those who've been abused, to have proper systems of accountability for those who have abused, and I guess more generally to have a culture of safety.
Thank you.
I've got a couple of questions. First of all, on a slightly personal note, can you tell us what your where your interest in this
and was mainly and still mainly deal with money matters as a trial attorney or barrister. A parish priest in Australia in 1997 asked me to come around and talk to him. It was one of those unforgettable conversations. He cried most of that night in a way I've never seen a man cry, as he described the experience of being a father of his two daughters being sexually interfered with in a very significant way by a person in a theological college. And he wanted help and thought, as a lawyer, I might be able to help him. That was the start of a journey.
When did the Safe Church Coalition, what was once called the Safe Church Coalition, is now a network, when did you all sort of organize?
Okay, the first attempt to do something was prior to Lambeth.
In 2008.
In 2008. So we met in the UK. I think we had people from about seven or eight provinces. And the sort of things that I was talking about that the network's designed to do, to bring together resources, mutual support, we found that time together extremely helpful. And we really came to the end of that conference, yes, we do want to do it again. And last year in British Columbia in Canada, we met again, this time with people from the developed world, but also significantly for us, two from Africa and one from the Philippines. And it became, with a focus particularly on the issue of abuse amongst First Nations people of Canada. But the outcome of that conference was really an invitation from the Africans, can you come and help us do this work in Africa? And we've been in negotiation with CAPA, and they're going to run a conference around this, working collaboratively with the network in March of 2014. We're extremely excited by that, that there is this opportunity to work in that collaborative way.
I suspect that you found sort of a varying level of attention already paid to these issues from province to province. Is there any way you can sort of summarize where the communion is now? For some people, the U.S.-based Episcopal Church requires training in this sexual misconduct prevention. My sense from being here is that in other provinces, it's rarely, if ever, acceptable to talk about.
That's what I thought until, just if I can respond to the second part of your question.
Mm-hmm.
Until really this year, I became aware this year that CAPA at its All Bishops Conference had passed a specific resolution dealing with this issue, and they wanted to tackle it. And at this consultation, my five colleagues who were here that were really representing the network have had many informal conversations with representatives from the developing world saying, yes, this is an issue, we've started to talk about it, we don't quite know what to do, but we want to do something. And that has been a real encouragement that the issue of abuse is being named. And an awareness, and I guess recognition, that we don't really know what to do, but can you help us?
The question was, we were talking about the issue of abuse is being named in many developing countries, but there's also a recognition that not everyone knows what to do next. And I was asking, what role do you see for the network?
I think the role is also our challenge, and that is, how can we engage in a respectful way with really all parts of the communion to help those that really don't have much in place to put something in place which will be effective? I think I see the strategy as probably regional conferences. So the African conference will be international, but it will focus on African issues, and I'm hoping I'll have an opportunity to engage with members from Asia while we're here at the consultation and flag, is there a possibility for a consultation within Asia, maybe 2015 or 16. It was also, if I can just say, clear within my regional group as we discussed We Can Stop Abuse arising out of the talk last night, that this is a significant issue, and in the Oceania group we need to be thinking how we can handle that. So there seem to be a number of different strands of this consultative council that are really coming together around this issue.
Great. Thank you very much indeed for your time.
Yeah, thank you.